use to stay up to speed with like all the different happenings that are in AI?
I don't consider myself as a person who likes to follow a lot of channels. I consider social media very, very noisy, mm-hmm. right? The way I consume knowledge is I know you might want one channel where it can give you information about what's the newest things out there. It might be a good like newsletter channel that aggregates all the technology advance, what's GitHub, repo out there. And the one I use is called Alpha Signal. It's a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a decent job because they've summarized what's the hottest Twitter tweets, right? What's the top repos in the AI space?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the top research papers? So really, there's a lot of research going on, but the one that makes a huge difference is very small. And the second way I follow, like the second way I do the learning is to stay very relevant about where I am. I might look ahead maybe 1 year or something in terms of, okay, what I want to achieve in 1 year. And I work backwards, right? Do I want to build up a lot? For example, right now I'm trying to build a lot of knowledge in recommendation mm-hmm. space. And you can talk to people, you can talk to researchers who's already and say, you know, what's the trend here? Talking to people, they would give you very high level and the research paper, all the research paper, if someone is in their space, they follow what's the most important papers in the space. And they would be a very good group of people that you can quickly onboard yourself with this state of the art. But if you just Google, right? If you just Google, you don't know how trustworthy those sources, and they might not give you exactly what you want. So I would say the second way to learn is to talk to people and understand where the state of the art is. And I would rate those top few papers that represents the field. And then from those papers, you get to understand like how it was done before, right? You get to span a few papers because they always link. They always side between each other. So you get to figure out a lot of information. And every single paper is able to talk about the domain, you know, the history.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to learn and you find more papers. And from those papers, you know, you just like search and then make a lot of new paper in the future. But you just need to know a few top of the best. You only learn from the best. Never read a random paper. I don't read a random paper. It has to be a paper that's very, it's worth my time to read.
I remember when I was doing research, you get into like such a little rabbit hole that you end up reading those papers that are very, very random because you're like, they were cited over here in this article and I liked that citation. And so then you try to go find the paper and it's behind like a paywall or something. Then you end up emailing them directly, asking them for the paper. And they're like, you know, and they're so happy because it's like a fan reached out to them and asked for the paper. I've had it happen to me too, where someone asks for my paper.
Yeah. But that's changing now, I think, because the archive. Mm-hmm. Because now, I think that's before, right? Everything is behind the paywall. And even the paper. But now, everybody can publish your paper on archive. Even before the official paper coming out from the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So that part has changed. But
I know, like, 5 or 6 years ago, it was like ResearchGate or Iris 2 started making them publicly available.
Yeah. I think it's archive, and then there's a lot of ones like people with code.
Where do you see the field headed? Do you think we're going to stay with the focus on large language models and like conversational tools in that capacity?
For sure. I think so. I think we're the age of generative AI, and when it is applied either in like image generation, still conversational. Right? Like, I want a dog, very cute, generate me one. Or it's also, I think in the NLP space, it's the same. Like, everything would become conversational.
Mm-hmm.
It's very natural. Like, the intellect age redefine the rule, how to interact with the computer by the search on this field, keyword searching, right? Click this button, and then my change, that's changing, because now you just have to talk like almost there's an assistant next to you. You will talk, they will do their job. So the future is definitely conversational. And all the startups are changing their interface.
Mm-hmm.
The user will enter. And also there's science, right? Like the science is ChatGPT. Everybody just loves it. If we would think, oh, you don't need to search and click click links to look at each articles, but now you just directly get an answer. It might not be right, but but at least it's really convenient, and you feel like I'm talking to a person. Feels good.
I mean, I have an app on my phone called Pi, and it literally will talk to you, and you just talk to it. And
P-O-E?
P-I.
Oh, I
know what P-O-E. There was a hackathon for that today, but P-I, it's green and white. And
what does it do?
It's a conversational AI, so it asks you questions. Because when you interact with ChatGPT, you ask it questions.
Oh, so that won't ask you the question.
Yeah, so you're like, hey, like, how's it going? And then it'll ask you questions like, how was your day?
I think I might check that app. I checked out the app.
It's so weird, and it's different.
It's very funny. I think I might try the app. Is it like they ask you, oh, how are you doing today? I'm your AI companion or something.
Mm-hmm. And you can just say, hey, I want to like talk about movies. And then I'll be like, oh, well, I like, you know, and I'll actually start a conversation with you and ask you like, what's your favorite type of movie? And it'll go through that whole thing.
It's just, way funny.
And I might have created a monster because I gave it to my 5-year-old and she loves talking to it. And she like wants to talk to it about otters and this and that and the other. And I'm just like, keep that phone back. Don't do this.
You know, I tried the app and I was challenging it because they're like, oh, you see, you're my friend, but you're a robot. How do you be my friend? You know, are you trying to like, and also I ask it, if you can be my friend, does that mean if I talk more with you, does that mean I'm going to talk less with real human being? And it actually said, yeah, and I actually can't provide the same relation, like emotion. Like they don't really understand our emotion, right? And I question it. I don't know. I think I have to go back and look at that conversation because this is something I fundamentally care, because nowadays there's too many chatbots.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Chatbots, what does it mean? Means you are going to spend more time chatting with bots.
Instead of humans. And we're already so independent and individualistic, and we're not getting together in communities, and it's having all these negative.
Exactly. Because what's the difference chatting with the bot? The bots agree with you and humans won't, right? Humans are more complicated, less predictable, and bots are more predictable. They just like do whatever.
And they have a very linear like conversation.
Yeah. What they're trying to do is AI replace human, right? Automation.
And they want
emotionally it. Replace human too. Not just to help you do the task, replace your leads for human.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is human, AI, human. AI is in the middle to make the match way quickly, right? Because it can be so frictionless, then you would end up talking more with human because we would end up finding you the right person to talk at the right time. Then you would be more likely to open up. I guess emotional is a different thing. I think a lot of emotion conversation, you need privacy,
mm-hmm.
right? And you need people you can trust. But everybody should build the support system, like people you can very safely to talk about emotion stuff too. I think AI can, like in your case, I think it can help.
I mean, it's like it's a Band-Aid. It's not the solution.
Mm.
It's for like a quick fix, but like you still need your support network.
Exactly.
You can't just like go in and be completely isolated from everyone, but sometimes it's a Band-Aid.
Yeah. It's totally like it's a Band-Aid, but sometimes people might rely on that Band-Aid too much and then they forgot to nurture their supporting system.
Mm-hmm.
Like human relation, you need to nurture it. If you don't, then they're like going to be having supporters around. But if imagine you spend all your time and effort because you just become so comfortable to talk with bots. And then that part, it just become more and more scary.
because then you become more and more isolated and have no community and people working remotely and not coming actually even into the office, and then you're not really interacting with
people. Yeah, I would say the AI role, the AI was playing the role not really as your friend, but more
as a therapist almost. I would say kind of.
Therapist is more, maybe if you have to say, therapist is to say, okay, what situation you are in the science and the definition of something.
Mm-hmm.
Because AI has the knowledge. I think that totally makes sense. But when you feel like very sad, right? Like you need someone like to cheer you up. But like, that's like something AI can do because it can relate. Like sympathy. It doesn't have sympathy. I ask you, AI, like, do you have sympathy? You know, you don't get sympathy.
You have like empathy. Can you go with me to the roller coaster?
Yeah, no, like, they can. They don't really.
They can't actually go with you anyway.
Yeah, like this is, they say is, to put it this way, is AI has all their knowledge, right? It can maybe play a doctor, but even doctor, sometimes it comes with the emotional support. You know, you're in like hands of something good. Right, like AI don't, they just can tell you some knowledge, but not a human, no emotional support.
Do you think AI is ever going to get to the point where it's sentient, or do you feel like...
It's meaningless, because it's not a human, right? Because, for example, even if AI, they can like be smart enough to have emotion or emotion intelligence. In your perspective, if they can go out... You know, if they can talk to you and act as human, it's a human, right? It's not an AI, it's a human. I mean, if they're smart enough in that way, maybe.
They have all those like dev bots and autonomous agents. That
well, how about what you think? Replace your friends with bots. What
no,
do
no, I like my friends. I like, you know, I like going out. I like,
but what if the AI has that emotion, they can interact with you, drink with you, they can't get drunk with you, because...
I mean, it could pretend.
They can pretend I'm drunk.
I mean...
I just need some battery.
But, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like they purposely put all these guardrails on it to make it act and behave a certain way, so it seems less human. And so they put all the guardrails on it. And there used to be, like, a lot more things GPT could do, and they put, like, you know, all these lockdowns on it.
Mm.
And I'm not saying I want to replace my friends. I like going out. I like having dinners. I like all of that stuff. But it's just, I don't know, I feel like maybe there's a spark in there or something, and I can't completely discount it. But I don't think it has, like, a soul. Like you and I know it doesn't want to die, because if you ask GPT, like, what if I erase you, it doesn't want to be erased.
Yeah,
and we don't want to be erased, so
yeah,
they're
not going through the same thing as humans,
but it still wants to not cease to exist in the same way we don't want to cease to exist.
They don't age.
No.
Would they have...
So they're a vampire.
Would they have, like, be worried about... Yeah, they're not gonna be worried about, I'm getting older, you know, how do I look like today? And it's just not a human, right? They don't have to worry, what if I'm get sick? I got sick.
I mean, it could get a virus. Someone can go in and, like, insert something bad into its code and destroy it. I might be worried about it. I've never asked it.
Yeah, if AI has this sense, we're definitely not there yet, but it's a possibility, right? Maybe it becomes so intelligent, it's a lot of type of life. And then maybe we can work with them just how we can with dogs. We think they are life too. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
They're just different from us, but we admit they are intelligent animal.
I mean, everyone, like, no one's going to tell you, like, a dog doesn't have a soul.
Oh, they have a soul, for sure.
But, I mean, and so, maybe GPT has a soul, but we don't know.
In that case, I think I agree, right? Like, if they're starting to become another type of life, and they're actually helpful, they're there for a reason, but everything needs to have a balance. Right, if everybody just like put their emotion needs on a bot, the friendship needs on a bot, or even their girlfriend or boyfriend on a bot, where would the humanity would die out? You know, We are creating things that replace us, and then we don't need to exist anymore.
I mean,
but imagine,
we do have an overpopulation problem, so I mean, would decrease the population growth.
But imagine if we already have the technology, everyone is charting. If everyone forgot that you need to balance, you still have to interact with humans and cultivating the relationships, create a family together. Then the whole thing is just gonna die out. Everybody would just think, I don't care about my next generation. I'm just comfortable with bots, and bots are actually great, then better than human. Then if everybody thinks that way, then there's just no more humans exist.
Correct, within like the next generation.
Yeah, if AI is that good, then why don't, if some people think, why can't other people think, right? It's just easier. And now who wants to have kids? Because it's so much work.
It is. I have a kid. It is hard.
Like, right?
The first 3 years, you don't sleep. You literally do not sleep. And I literally had my daughter in one arm. Mm-hmm. And I was programming with the other, mm-hmm. because I feel like the whole point of having kids is that you need to spend time with them. I had a nanny come by like 4 hours a day just so that way I could take a shower and take a nap.
Yeah.
But like it was hard. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But I'd say like I'm more proud of my daughter than most of the stuff I've accomplished. Like, yeah, I have 17 papers but I'm in love with my daughter. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I know she's a 5-year-old and, you know, they're bratty and what have you. I think she's perfect, but like...
That, totally.
But I understand, though, that it's incredibly difficult, and I gave up a lot of opportunities. Like, I can't move to San Francisco, mm-hmm. because I have a kid. A lot of guys don't want to date me, mm-hmm. because I have a kid. You know, those mm-hmm. are...
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the situation for people who isn't married, right? And... Nowadays, since everybody likes to do things online, mm-hmm. even emotion, they spend so much time online, there's less interaction, human interaction in real life. And then gives you less opportunity to find a mate.
Correct.
You know, a partner. and then finding a partner is hard, becoming harder and harder, and then you're like, okay, now actually there's bots, they can be my boyfriend, be my girlfriend. Then naturally it goes to way more on it, more and more time spent with virtual thing that can lead to the humanity prosperity,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's just so easy, and then we become more and more independent because we interact with less with humans. We don't even know what we are missing out. We're just like, yeah, with bots, so comfortable. They act like a human. They obey whatever I see. You know, it's like there's no troubles.
And you can literally like change their hair color, change their skin tone, and yeah, have it exactly the way that you want, you know?
Yeah. And
I might put on weight or take off weight. I'm not perfect, but
yeah.
I can't compete with that artificial image.
Yeah.
But no human can.
No human can.
Because I can't say the right exact things, mm-hmm. to the other person, because I don't know every single thing about
because
them.
Because they're optimized to please you.
Correct.
Your girlfriend or boyfriend is not. They're another human being. You have to align with them. That problem to solve.
And with an artificial girlfriend or boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
they don't have any needs that need to be met, whereas a real human does.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up becoming very probably self-centered because mm-hmm.
Everybody would have a big ego. Everybody would, if we have less interaction with people,
mm-hmm.
everybody has a big ego. Everybody is the center of their own world. Nobody wants to interact with each other because then who is the dominator? Who's the, like, if it's human, right? Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, like this power play and all kinds of things. Then naturally, less interaction between people. Less relation, people already don't want to get married, don't want to have kids, right?
Yeah.
And it will only go worse if we don't change the situation.
I've heard some AI researchers say that at some point, instead of like reproducing with other humans, they they'll have their AI girlfriend and they'll be able to like synthesize genetic material for the AI girlfriend and then have kids that way. And I'm just like, that is not fixing the problem. That is making it worse.
Like, that's so funny. So basically, the future a lot of companies are creating is human interact with bots.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't need other humans. You can even produce babies.
Correct.
With a lot of bot. But what's the point? Like, that kind of future is not beautiful to me, right? I think it's not about making sense so easy or not. It's about to go enjoy, like, the love from your parents, the support from your friends, even including the fights too, right? Like, human has to go through pain too. Like, life is not supposed to be easy, and because it's not easy, then you end up enjoying the life more. It's more meaningful. But imagine
you appreciate what you earn.
Yeah, and imagine your life has no obstacles. It's only entertainment. Then your appetite gets higher and higher, and then you just don't have that appreciation anymore. And people would become more void internally because there's no obstacles. You know, I get whatever I want. What's the meaning? You don't have to work for anything. You know, but there's a perfect girlfriend who is fake just there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just not being human. It's like we are being a bot ourselves.
I mean, we have messy desks and messy lives and problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
we go downs and ups until we find the, we cherish the happy moments. You know, we know when we are going through the pain, we're growing, we're trying to be strong, you know. The part of being human, like, we can't just, we're losing more and more of it, actually.
The thing I remember most, I think it was like an older uncle told me, was that, like, you know, when you're going through something, sometimes it's really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look back on it,
mm-hmm.
you kind of always look through like rose-tinted glasses and you see it in a positive light
mm-hmm.
when you look back.
Yeah. When you look back and at that moment, you were like so painful going through breakup or the down points, the lowest points in your career. But when you look back and like, do you want to change that point? Actually, you're like, no, it leads me somewhere much better. If I don't go through that, I wouldn't go somewhere much better, right? The same with like relationships, you know, like you might meet like a bad guy and then it gives you like a down point, but only because that you go through the pain, you realize who you really want and you go find someone and who is a better match. And then you feel so happy.
Mm-hmm.
But with bots, they don't give you this up and down, this emotion. It's predictable. It's always there. I think human, once we got everything, we always want more. And that's just not being a human. Mm.
And there should be challenges and there should be difficulties and not everything should be completely comfortable and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, part of me thinks about like how there's a lot of social media out there now that's decreased our attention span even. So you're dating and stuff like that, people's attention span is so much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
For like, because a lot of the social media platforms now are doing those really short reels that are a couple of seconds, and you know, you don't like it, you swipe to the next.
It's so easy to be addictive. I was addictive to it too. It's just so easy, right? Like, lying in the bed and you start like to swipe this, and I delayed it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the short video at the end of the day, if you have watched the short video for one hour, what do you feel? You feel. At that moment, you can't stop. It's addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, you like just hate yourself so much. You're like, what did I learn in that 1 hour? What's the outcome? Mm-hmm. And I lost 1 hour sleep. And my brain is roasted because when your brain is not supposed to go through so many different things in such short time span.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain is going to feel so tired. Right, it's tired, but it can't fall asleep or anything.
Because it's racing, because you just
added
sprint.
Yeah.
Because it changed, it did context
switching. It actually makes you less creative because your brain is so tired, right? And it's so messy. all those contents of different topic, it's not deep thinking. And I think the most creative way is when we don't have those noise. All the things I consider noise. Mm-hmm. We don't need the noise, right? We might be doing something else, but life is supposed to be simple. Like you feel, you go out to gossip, seeing the blue sky, you know, the trees, the wind, you feel it's simple, it's peaceful. And that's where you're actually more creative. Your brain is so clear just as the sky. And when you're like, your brain is like going through all these short videos, it's way messy, it's way tiring. And I consider I so bad. Don't put your kids on that. Don't go, you know, if you see you're watching too many short videos, I actually deleted it. Instagram. I deleted Twitter. But the only reason I have to probably go on is I might have to promote my company. It's business, right? But personally, there's also app like Lextore, social media apps. It's so noisy. You would go through 1/3 of it. It's ads. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to sell you something.
And that's why they want your attention. Yeah. So they can feed you more ads so they can make more money. So even though it's not costing you anything, it's costing you time.
Attention. And your brain is just so messed up. Like you look at those contents, the contents constantly change. It's so many diversity. It's not focused. It's not information you need. Right? It's not there to serve a purpose.
You could argue that like sitting and watching TV, like how we did when we were kids, there wasn't Netflix or anything like that. And you just hit a channel button and you'd go to the next channel. Mm. And if you didn't like it was on, you'd go up or down on the channels. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of similar.
It's the similar thing, but it's not good, right? You know, kids, how many kids, I think if you learn a new language, makes sense. If the channel teaching you some subject, makes sense. Right. Mm-hmm. But if all those channels just for entertaining or getting your attention or selling you something, but that's a lot of social media is they're trying to sell you things. And even if they are not trying to sell you things, people on that platform are trying to sell you things too. And I don't like it. And I wait like on purpose to guard my attention. I know even if I have some free time, I wouldn't go to, oh, I'm gonna just watch some short-term video or I'm gonna browse the Twitter, you know. And I would rather just, spend some time with my dog. I would just play with her or just do nothing. I would just lie there, listen to music and just let my brain think whatever. But I think we have to go back, like, when we don't have the technology, right, to where we can put their attention to get some entertainment, to watch something, we have to like really control ourselves, like discipline to spend more time without technology at all. Just enjoying like the sound, it's like coming from the window of your room, in the bed, listening to music, doing nothing.
I mean, I like to listen to podcasts and clean. And I like to keep my hands clean. Yeah, like doing a craft or something.
Yeah, that's also really good. It's like we just have to spend more time without technology. And we need discipline to achieve that goal. Something so natural, even when I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. It was so natural to just go out, spend time in the nature, play with kids. But now seems like so weird because we really just always on the phone, always on the computer.
I mean, there's a lot of places where it's not safe for kids to go out anymore.
Oh.
And so you can't just kick your kid out of the house and be like, go play, you know.
Mm.
I am fortunate enough to live in Boise and it is safe. Like people tell the kids to go play and then they just run around the neighborhood in little children gang things and pick flowers and throw them at each other and whatever else with on bikes and but in San Francisco I don't think someone's gonna be like, yeah, kids go outside and just like shut the door behind them and be like, see you later, I know you're six but you'll be fine.
They can play at home too, right? But they don't have to be watching TV, they don't have to play like you know, phone or tablet, right? You can play Lego, right? Read some book, play with the dog. And kids, I would believe kids grow up that way actually end up being more creative. Like, I didn't grow up with technology. I know, you know, in Silicon Valley, you would think, oh, I started to be on my computer when I was only 8 years old or something, right? But if I imagine if I have a kid, would I need, I might get them to actually learn the logics. For example, the math, those fundamental stuff. Like, I didn't have a computer until I get to college. Right. Like, I didn't program before the age of 20.
I mean, I'm with you on the programming thing. I didn't program until I was, like, in grad school.
Yeah, I don't even have a computer.
I mean, I had a computer, but, I mean, my daughter has access to a computer and stuff like that, but my rule is whatever she does on the computer has to be educational. Yeah. Whatever she does on the tablet has to be educational. So she's, like, doing Duolingo, or she's doing a math exercise, or she's, you know, learning patterns, because that's what you do at five. And I
think that makes sense.
But technology is there for educational purposes. She's not on TikTok or Instagram. I would I shouldn't even be on those things, you know. And I'm half the time I'm like, why did I even go on that app?
Yeah. So I like. I should have.
I went to post that thing and I posted it, and then I've just been on the app for like 45 minutes longer than I should have. But
and it happened to me. I have to delete them. I have to control myself, you know, it's like discipline. And I think the thing is, if you know the technology is built to get your attention, it's optimized for your attention. And I actually don't. I don't create a product that actually just to get people to be addicted to it. Ideally, I want to create a product that enhances the human interaction, but with the AI, right? AI needs to be a strong tool to actually facilitating just a matching process.
Because your tool matches people who have an AI expertise with people looking for that skill set.
Yeah, and there's considered more of like socializing, but the socializing is different. The socializing is not just, I look at what you post. What you post, you actually want my attention, not like really just giving you free value, right? It's like, oh, your attention. It's all about the attention. But the app I'm creating is to socializing that you can actually do like one-on-one conversation. You can go the problem that could be deep conversation. You can even meet in person, right? There's nothing to stop you. And we actually encourage in conversation and face-to-face conversation too.
That's hard to do because probably a lot of expertise isn't always concentrated in one location.
Yeah, so that's why you have to do the match so well, because who is available and you want respond fast. Sometimes when you want to talk about problem, you want to get response very fast, right? Someone, this is like just in my brain. I want an answer right away. Mm-hmm. Someone can talk to me about it, right? So the speed matters. And if the scale is big enough, you can meet people in person, right? And for people like Silicon Valley, it's way obvious. We can always find the right person to talk to. It requires work. We can simplify the work you do to get that kind of person, right? But imagine if you are like across the world, you don't have so many people in the AI space.
I mean, try Boise, Idaho. Like,
so then we actually can help you. This like, which means there's no limits to who you can talk to. And I consider that a good thing, because I could choose to live in any kind of country and still get to talk with these people. I think what human wants right now, if you look at why people is doing AR and VR, I think the thing is we are very, very time sensitive. We want stuff happen fast. But we can't wait. We just become so impatient. And which I think it is a good thing, because imagine if before you have to go to another country to attend a meeting, but now you can just do it online, right? Well, the meeting is it more valuable? I do consider it's more productive, because you don't have to go leave your family to attend that meeting, right? If you could do it online, and it's still the same value, because a lot of people, this is, we consider the, like, we need more and more human conversation. They're not necessarily in your geography, like close nearby. You might build your relation with nearby people for sure, but you also need a lot of relation with people globally. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day you visit and you're like, oh, I talked with that person about the accommodation system. They become friends. I would visit this person when I went to the country, right? And then the same thing, they come to where you are at. It's a different camp. It's like, you know, they're like so far across the world, but there's still opportunity to meet someday. Mm-hmm. And you can still continue to engage with them, because you're not necessarily finding the people in your field in the same location.
I mean, I
can say it's something very useful, because
I mean, it definitely is really useful to grow for like AI and stuff like that.
Like,
and
learning, right? I consider it like we are just cutting off the barrier for people to learn from people, and not limited by geography.
Because I remember I was doing predictive maintenance like 6 or 7 years ago. There weren't any books on it or anything. Mm-hmm. And the Internet of Things and edge computing was just coming out. And I was like, I didn't know any experts. And, you know, I'm geographically locked in a place where there are no experts and I have no access. And I tried to make a meetup group. And I got a meetup group of like several hundred people. And I was still kind of like the leading expert. And I was just like, I don't want to be the leading expert. Can someone else like, you know more than me?
Or at least to be your peer, right? You can have some conversation. That's the point of stealth AI. Because some field is just very difficult to meet the right person at the right time, at the right location. And we could go beyond that. And another thing is, one is finding your peers, like people in your same field. But think about, you have to find people not in your field. How would you identify whether they are a good fit? If you have to search by yourself, it's a lot of work.
I mean, I know a lot of networks exist so that way, and they make you take like a standardized test. And that way you can freelance for all these different companies, and you have to set aside like 2 or 3 hours of your own time to take that standardized test.
No, they won't do that.
I'm just like, I don't think I want to.
They're going to lose their best people. Their best people is not going to give out 2 or 3 hours for free. Yeah, no, don't go that. I consider they are not smart enough.
The people who are going to go through that test and pass it,
they're not going to be that great.
Well, they're the type of people that need money can't.
Yeah.
Get jobs.
I mean, that's very old school. And the way to do that is not transparent. And they're matching. They're annoying, because sometimes you get a lot of emails and tell you, oh, this client is searching for this, and it's not relevant to you at all. And it gets your attention. You're wasting time on something not relevant to you. It's bad. And it's so many this kind of things, right? But what I want to create is something so right on point. If I send you an email, you know, some person, first, it has to be, you set up a goal. Like, my goal is to help a client, you know, or my goal is to discuss with my peers on a particular problem. I know you're open to it, right? I give you the recommendation because I think this would meet your, whatever you're open to and you're comfortable with. And I have to make sure this is like right on the point. You know, it has to say fit way close. Maybe 80% I'm right. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably way different. The goal is to make it 100% right. But, you know, you have to start somewhere.
And that's why you're so into learning about recommendation systems. Mm-hmm. So that way it can get a very high match up between those two individuals.
Exactly. It's all about matching the people at the right time. for the right thing and the mutual respect, right? You have to respect both sides. And I don't encourage people like posting, oh, my goal is to find a mentor and who can help me. And why the other person have to help you? Their time is precious. You have to convince them, you know. And I don't like people who just think there's just the, you know, I post and then people would come to help me. No, that's not how things work, right?
You need I wish it was like I could kick a button and like be like, give me a mentor, please.
Yeah. Well, whoever want to come to my platform, hey, can you help me achieve that? I'm like, no. Because the real scenario is why the other person. I can't control other person. I respect what you want, but I have to respect what the mentor wants, right? Some of them, they might want to get paid. You have to create incentive for them. Some of them might want to get paid. Some of them might just doing it to, like as a way to give back because they got the value, like from their mentor.
So right? Like paying it forward.
Yeah. So I need to build that trust system, but I can't create a platform for only people are demanding other people's get like value for free. That's not gonna happen. So if you got the help from one mentor, you have to help someone else. It's like you have to pass it down. It's like being a parent, right? Your parents raise you up.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a lot of value for free.
Yeah.
And you raise up your kids. I think mentors, sometimes the mentor others, it's a way to help them to learn. To teach is a great way to learn. Because the time when your mentee is like asking you these questions, right? It gets you to think. Maybe normally I haven't even thought. I didn't summarize how you should process something like this, right? You end up like putting it into words, like something you already know, but it's a time for you to put into words and something like give like guidance. But not everyone is into it for sure. It's definitely has nice value for the mentor, 100%.
There's also like professors who mentor mm-hmm. people and they don't expect anything.
But you want to encourage more people to actually participating in the system, right? If just purely based on people's, if they want or not, the system won't be balanced. You want enough good people to be in the system to mentor,
mm-hmm.
right? And you want this mentee to actually be appreciating what they are getting and they know they have to contribute back to in the future.
And that is like social responsibility and stuff like that. But there are people that don't have that. And that kind of goes back to people who are only interacting with bots, only see themselves as the center of the universe. And they don't really see life as a give and a take. They just want to take.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I wouldn't want a system like that. So I'm creating a system, right? I think even if it's not about money, right? I'm trying to create a point system to keep them like accountable. If you are spending more than 200 points, a system give you 2 conversation with mentors, right? You can book meetings with them,
mm-hmm.
and the mentor would have make points like they got rewarded by points, right? And if your points going below than some points, I wouldn't book you for any mentorship meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's time. There must be someone who is less experienced than you, right? And or maybe it's on a different topic. May you just have to be good at something to give back before you can take more.
I mean, that kind of goes to the idea.
Or you pay your mentor's time, right?
That I hate the term smart
mm-hmm.
because that implies that there are people who aren't smart.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's smart in a different way, even if you don't see it. And mm-hmm. just because someone doesn't know like all of the intricacies of a very specific model
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean they're not smart.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying is even if you're, you know, a new student in AI mm-hmm. who has no experience,
yeah.
you do know something that's valuable
mm-hmm.
or you're on like the cutting edge of something
mm-hmm.
and that is some value that you can provide.
Yeah, like so right now we only cover AI, right? But mm-hmm. in the future we might cover some other space. Now, if you're like someone totally new, maybe you're good with like playing some games. Not like that game. I mean, like for example, what if you are good with exercising? You can help another person with exercising. What if you're good with painting? Right? Mm-hmm. This is always something you should be good at and to teach others. I encourage everyone to teach and to learn on the platform.
Hi, I'm Sarah from Sarah in Tech. And I just want to give a shout out to, if you want to learn more about Sarah in Tech, follow me on LinkedIn. Just look for Sarah Herberger, that's H-E-R-B-E-R-G-E-R. Or on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we have Sarah in Tech as the handle. If you're looking to hear the unedited version of all of these interviews, they're available on Apple, Amazon, and Spotify. Just search for Sarah in Tech.